And oh, and on that ship, they put all the teenagers somewhere down in the hole. It was like a big dormitory thing for teenage boys, and did the same for the teenage girls on the other end of the ship, I guess, somewhere in that ship anyway.
Yeah.
So we told Jim what time to meet us at our cabin, you know, for all the meals. Well, the first day or two, we'd wait and wait and no Jim. But he followed this little girl around. Now, we didn't care. We told him he could go anywhere on the ship, as long as he didn't get in any trouble, behave himself. The day was his, except meal time. He was to meet us, whatever time through the day our meals were. So the first day, Jim showed up maybe 10 minutes late, and he came on in. And his granddad warned him again, he'd better show up. Well, I think he came on time for lunch, but he didn't get there in time for supper. And for a couple of days this went on, so finally, granddad threatened that he would go down to the boys' dormitory and be waiting outside his door 10 minutes before mealtime. If he didn't show up at our door by then, he would be down there to escort him, you know. So Jim showed up on time after that. But, you know, like granddad told him, the only thing we asked of him was to be there on time for meals.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Your dad, I think, then was 16. He went to Hawaii, so.
Well, tell me a little about Susan. How do you come about getting Susan?
Well, even in Austria, I had wanted to adopt a little girl, baby girl. And granddad, at one point, he agreed. And then we had some friends, Herb and Glenn Wyden. They came over to visit, and we were talking about looking into adoption in Austria. And the way Herb went on, I would not have a child belong to somebody else. I don't want to raise somebody else. All of this, and that's what crazy to get at. So then they totally backed out, and I was furious because Herb did. And when we were in Baltimore, guess what? The Wyden has adopted a little baby boy. So when we went to Hawaii, I heard that it wasn't too hard to, adopt over there. And finally, when I asked Granddad, he just said no. So finally, one night we'd gone to bed, and I said, "Now I'm not going to take just no for an answer anymore." I said, "If you have a good reason, you tell me, but don't just say no." And you know. Because friends of ours would come visit, had little kids. I would be entertaining the friends, and Granddad'd be out playing with the kids. So it wasn't that he didn't like kids. So he gave me a couple of reasons. And first off, my sister-in-law, Betty, wasn't that great taking care of her kids. And, you know, he came up with a couple of reasons. I said, "That's her, not me." You know, so finally he agreed, and we looked in, you know, the couple organizations that you go to adopt. And there was such a long waiting list, and then I heard it was legal to go through a private doctor. And that's what I did. I went through Dr. Bautista in Honolulu. And I knew before Susan was born that I was going to get her. I didn't know that she would be a girl, but you have to agree to take either one. And I thought, well, a baby's a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And she happened to be a girl. So that's how we got her. Through a private obstetrician.
So was there any problems between having Susan and having Pops, with the age difference?
No, not really. Because when you go through adoption, you're interviewed by a lot of people.
Yeah.
And, well, what I want to say that had come out in interview, they interviewed each one of us separately.
Yeah.
And she, of course, I already had Susan when she came to interview me. And she called like 8:30 in the morning, and within 20 minutes she was there. Because I guess they don't give you that much time. And she asked a lot of questions, you know, and then she wanted to set up an appointment. She agreed to that. And he told us that she asked him how he would feel about, you know, an adopted child that, you know, in years to come, in worlds and things you'd have to share with her. And he apparently said he told him he didn't mind, he didn't care. You know, and apparently she, you know, he said all the right things, and then they interviewed our friends, the social workers, though. Interviewed our friends and neighbors, and interviewed Granddad's commanding officer, Colonel Mack. It's not easy. You go through a whole lot of stuff. So, and there were a few other problems. The natural parents or biological parents left the islands before all adoption petitions were signed. And they had, they were finally located, and these papers sent to them. And our attorney sent them, you know, all the stuff they needed. They had to go before Notre Republic to have all this to sign it. And they gave he sent a check for $25. You know, of course, we paid for that. But, you know, to give them cab fare and they could have lunch, just being nice to them.
Yeah.
Well, they cashed the check and spent the money and never signed and sent back the papers. So, after that, they found out, I guess they moved, but they found them again, and they had to have the sheriff in that little town serve the papers on them, which they did, and they had 30 days to change their mind and take them back. And Susan, by this time, was a year old, and I'd had her since she was 5 days old.
Yeah.
So, they didn't sign, we didn't hear from them, and the day the 30 days were up, our lawyer had made arrangements. We went into the courthouse, went before the judge, and she was made legally ours that day. So, but I was ready to head for the hills, I can tell you. So that's how, you know, that's how we got Susan.
I didn't realize it was that complicated to get.
Well, it's not usually, you know, but I think our attorney didn't do his job quick enough.
Yeah.
And there was just a lot of mix-ups.
Yeah.
There. So that these people, now, Susan has six or seven brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Why they thought they had to give her up, I don't know, but the doctor just told us it was a very sad case. You know, and that's all we knew about that. But, anyway, you know, when Uncle Sam says you leave, you gotta go.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the papers, I mean, you know, who are they to worry about if they're giving the child up and all that, so.
So where did you go after Honolulu? Hawaii?
Oh, we came here to Atlanta.
Yeah.
We were stationed in Fort McPherson. And we were here about 2 years, and Granddad's stepfather became very ill and he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Grandma Davis was left alone.
Mm-hmm.
And your granddad asked for a compassionate transfer to New England so he could look after his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And he applied and he got it. And that's how he ended up where we were in West Boylston when we died.
So that puts you in what age when you finally went down to West Boylston?
Well, you know, when we moved this last time up there.
How old?
She was 4 years old.
And after that, when she was 9 or so, and then when my parents got married?
Yeah. She was 9 when they got married.
So now, let's see. What are we going to do? Tell me a little bit about the 41 Cavour Circle.
45 Cavour Circle.
I knew it was one of the 40s.
Oh, that's a great place to live. I still miss it, but not like I did at first. A lot of great friends. Most of the people in our neighborhood were there when we moved in, and we were there when I left. I left in July, and had I stayed till September, we would have been there 29 years.
Wow.
So, most of them had retired. A few, you know, had moved in a little later, but it was like our own little world on that end of Cavour Circle.
Yeah.
Few people knew we were up there and knew where. Because, you know, you come in off the highway, you go down Shrine Ave, and unless you know somebody up there, you don't make that turn to go to Cavour Circle. So, it was just a great place to live, and I left a lot of close friends behind when we sold the house.
So,
good friends, good neighbors, and West Boston's a nice little town to live in.
Yeah, I remember going up there in the summertime. Spending that, it was like its own little world up there.
Right. And even when I put the house up for sale, I put it up one time, kept it on a couple months, and I really didn't like the people that I, you know, contacted to sell the house for me. So I took it off, but she had put her sign up for maybe a couple months. And when they took the sign down, and I just said, you know, just take me off, I've changed my mind. They had a couple of neighbors that they were never so worried in their life when they saw that for sale sign. But the last one that said that to me, I was getting ready to put it up again on it. They didn't know it, not in their time. So, anyway, about a year later, I put it on the market again, and they didn't give me a chance to change my mind. It sold the first time in 2 weeks. And these people backed out because they got mad at the bank. I don't know how they got mad at their bank, but they backed out. But within 3 weeks, it sold again. So, in a matter of 5 weeks, my home sold, and I had to get out.
You set the moving trucks out there, though.
Yes,
Grandma. So as the final thing, this tape's about to wind down, but
as about what?
This tape's about to how do you like it here?
At first, I was very homesick and felt any day I was going back to Massachusetts. About the first, I'd say 5 or 6 months. But then I met friends, and we get togethers and do things, and I kind of like it here. I've gotten adjusted and acquainted, put it that way. So, I have no problems with it. And when I went back to Nance Christmas time and saw the house that's no longer mine, doesn't even look like my house anymore, so I'm over that, you know.
Well, we're back.
Thanks.